In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Great Fast. It's known as the Sunday of the Temptation. And the Church, as she prepares us for this great season, tells us that if we are pursuing the way to life, we will be tempted. This is something that's going to happen to all of us, regardless of where we are, how advanced we are in our spiritual struggle. We will all have to face temptation. And the Lord today is teaching us how we can face the enemy and how we can conquer through him. So today we are going to talk about the three main devices in the diabolic war. Diabolic is another word for satanic or devilish, because the scripture teaches us that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know, or we should know from the scripture, how the enemy fights, and so we can be prepared to fight back and defend ourselves and our salvation. The three main devices for the devil to attack us is working on these. First of all, our wills. How to compromise man's will. How you make to surrender. Doing even something against what you want to do. And we are all aware of this struggle. When you feel like I am forced to do something, I don't want to do it, but I feel like I lost control. And the second attack is the mind. How a person get confused, not knowing what is right and what is wrong, and choosing what is not helpful or edifying, but on the contrary, maybe even choosing what is destructive and what might lead to the man's perdition. And the third device is how to deprive man from the grace of God. How I can get this person isolated and by himself in order for the devil to get on him. This is another device that we should be aware of. So the first device is to how to compromise our wills. Satan has many, many ways to work on this thing. The first thing here, as we see in the temptation today, that he's trying to convince the Lord to eat, just to eat. As if like saying that you will be satisfied when you satisfy your hunger. If you are hungry, just eat. And after a while, we will eat even without being hungry, because there is some kind of pleasure in eating. And then we get into this kind of gluttony. And we know from the fathers that a full belly is a mother of adultery. And then the same applies on other desires. If you are longing for a relationship, just go for it. If you want to satisfy yourself for just sleeping and doing nothing, nothing wrong with this. This is what your body is asking for. Just go and satisfy this. And this is the beginning where we lose control over small things and we advance into losing control over our whole life. The second way is the images. The repeated exposure of us to images make us to be filled with thoughts, lustful thoughts that will lead us eventually to the sin of fornication or adultery. Even if we do not practice this by the body, we still are overwhelmed with it. Sometimes Satan tries to convince us that it's no harm that you meditate on images. Because you did not do the act, then you are safe. But this is a big lie and a deception, because when we are exposed to images day after day, then our mind is just a lab that processing all of these. At the end, we are overwhelmed with emotions, and then it's going to be the matter of the opportunity when I lose control and I fall in actual sin. Another way is postponing the repentance and the return. Today, we are the second week of the Great Fast, and Satan still working with people to tell them, what is the harm of waiting for another week before you fast? Maybe another 2 weeks. Maybe you can start praying tomorrow. You can meet with your father of confession next week. What's the rush for? Today, maybe I have a zeal and I have a strong desire to go back and I want to start. Tomorrow, as I thought that I planned, I might lose this zeal altogether. I don't have even any kind of intention or interest to start to walk with God. He knows when to attack in order for us to just postpone. Just wait for tomorrow, and tomorrow we will have another talk. Another way to compromise our will is the scheme of one is like 100. Sometimes Satan tries to convince people that if you commit an act, so already you did it. So if you do it 100 times before you confess, absolution will just erase it all. So why you restrain yourself after you already fell in sin? You are going to meet your father of confession in a month, and you committed the sin today, so there is no harm of adding more sins until you meet your father of confession. He is going to read you the absolution. Everything will be gone. But this is exactly like convincing someone who is struggling against a chain around his wrist and tell him there is no harm of adding another chain and another chain and maybe 100 chains. This is a deception. At the end of the day, every time I commit the act, every time I fall in sin, I'm just adding another rope around my wrist. Of course, we all know getting rid of one is not just like getting rid of 100. And also, the nagging of the media and the peer pressure, it's surrounding us from every side. Everywhere we go, we hear a message that's negative and immoral, encouraging us to sin. And the songs that we hear, the movies we watch, everything is just pushing in order for us to just to yield and give up. And this is what Satan is after, compromising our wills through this. Also, the pressure of boredom and stress. These two things, we have to be aware that they compromise our will like nothing else. I am bored. I don't know what to do. And then Satan offers a solution. I will get you entertained. Just like listen to what I have to tell you. I'm stressed. I have a difficult day. And then I don't know where to go with this stress. And Satan also offers his own solution. So all of these are used in order for our wills just to yield, accept sin as a lifestyle, as a way to run from stress. And of course, we know the rest. The second device is confusing our minds. The second temptation that Satan tried to tempt the Lord with is using the scripture in order for the Lord to fall into this kind of temptation, that when I seek the vanity of fame, then my ministry will be successful. When you look at the sentence and the verse that Satan used, he is using it, of course, not with the intention that God meant it. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. He is the Son of God, but what is this to do with this? This kind of war happens also every day, and it's a subtle one. We are not very much maybe aware of that it's happening. Like the attacks by negative thoughts. We encounter many people around us. We come to the church, and maybe after the end of the day, when I go back, all of what's in my mind, what happened wrong today in the church? Whom I met, who distressed me, who gave me a hard time, and then that's it. All what I learned, I prayed, is nothing. I only remember the negative experience. And we go from here into like this kind of mind-buzzing ideas, just going from bad to worse. And the idea about self-pity, that I am the most miserable about in comparison to other people. I'm not treated fairly. People are not like dealing with me as I deserve. At the end of the day, then what happens? Then I'm sucked into this kind of negativism, and then I'm away from God. It is me who loses at the end when I surrender to this kind of thoughts. Again, the temptation, just confusing the minds, make it all about me and about other people, how they treat me. And also the worldly views and ideologies, humanism and evolution. It's madness just to look around you and see the creation of God, and you say and try to convince people that just evolved it from nothing. They came by random chances and coincidences. All of these make people now to convince it that, oh yes, nothing came by design, just evolved. Another way to confuse the mind of man is offering an alternative. If you want to worship, let me give you another God. What exactly can make you happy? This is what Satan tries to convince people with. Whatever makes you happy becomes your God. Maybe lust, maybe greed, maybe money. Anything you choose. I have many idols in my shop. Just choose one and I will give you from this. At the end of the day, we do not know who is who and which of which, what is good and what is bad. Something that for us is very interesting to know, that when the Lord was about to be crucified and Pontius Pilate was trying him, the man that was offered before the people either to release him or to release the Lord, his name is Barabbas. Bar means son, Abbas means father. So the other man, Barabbas, his name is what? Then the son of the father. As if like before the people, you have the true son of God, and there is another person with the same name, the son of the father. Which one you choose? I'm giving you an alternative. And the people fell in the trick, and they choose the faked one, the evil one, even though he's carrying the same name, the son of the father. Many, many alternatives, and the minds at the end are like buzzed with which church and which religion, where to go, what to choose. Also introducing the new definitions. What is goodness? People now look at a person who is a celebrity and they think of this as something good. This is something to be desired. Defining today what is freedom. As we all now, we are moving into the age of freedom from religion. Religion is something that makes the people oppressed. Freedom means you don't have to do anything with religion. What is tolerance? Yeah, people now use the word "do not judge" like nothing else and abuse it to the point that people just expressing their opinion become judgmental and narrow-minded and intolerant and all of these kinds of labels that the world now is labeling the children of God with. What is love? Love is another word that's so much abused. Lust is love. And things like molesting a child or homosexuality, now this is love. And again, I cannot see something that's more awkward or bizarre than misusing these like terms and definitions that God intended for a good purpose. And what is religion? It was a certain time tradition was a bad word. Now religion is a bad word. If you say that I'm religious, people look you at as like you're maybe a bit weird, maybe retarded, something like this. And now religion is something people try to defend themselves against. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. All of this is just a confusion. And our children walk in the world and wonder what is exactly right and what is wrong. The third device is depriving us of God's grace. Satan knows that if we are in the presence of the shepherd, he cannot really get control of us 100%. So the idea is to get you out. Many, many ways he is using for you just to be separated. Just like a sheep getting away from the flock. This is the target of the wolf. The wolf cannot attack the sheep while in presence of the shepherd. Let me get you out. I can deal with you as an individual. How he's doing, is trying to do this? Neglecting our armor. We know that we have weapons to defend ourselves with. Prayer and fasting, the Bible, the church. Getting you out from any of these make you an easy target. You don't pray, then this is good. You don't use the Bible, then your idea about God and the godly way is maybe from other people around you. I can get you there. Getting away from the church. Let me separate you from the church for whatever reason. Get you anything that make you out. Once you are out, I can deal with you. You are an easier target. Being so busy, being lacking discipline, all of this make us to be away. Once you get away from light, you just enter into the realm of darkness. And there, he knows how to convince people very well and get them to his side. Also, this idea of getting us away from grace happens by convincing people to get where God's presence is not respected. When you enter into a place where God is not honored, a casino or a bar or any of these places, whom do you expect to find there? Do you think that the angels are filling this place? Saints are hovering around the people there? Of course not. We know exactly who is the owner of the place. So what do you expect? Getting there as if saying to your guardian angel, stay here, I have some business to do inside this place. Just stay, don't go with me. When you get inside, you are inviting trouble for yourself. And then when you go out, you don't go out by yourself. the people that you befriended inside, and the devils and the spirits that they welcomed you in, will just go with you out. It's not safe when you do something like this, assuming that's just a visit and it's going to end once I'm out from the place. This doesn't happen. Another way also of depriving us of God's grace is the love of vanity and riches. Okay, get busy with this. Get your focus into this. And then, of course, the reason, excuse, life is too tough. The world is so harsh. If I do not secure it for myself, no one else will do it. And then we know the rest of the story. Heresies are also one of the ways to get the people away from grace. Imagine you come to the church and you don't take communion. Then what is all of this is about? We pray, we fast, we do whatever we do in order for us to come to the church at the end, we take communion. Satan wouldn't mind that we come to the church, even we sing songs and we have good time, but you don't receive this life-giving mystery. Then I deprive you from grace. This is fine. I don't mind that you worship God in this way, away from this. The Lord said, if you not partake of it, you have no life in you. No problem if you just come and have fun, socialize, maybe coming, just playing, maybe visiting here the building, the activity building, and spending good time with the people, but not to take communion. All of these are heresies at the end of the day, aiming at making the people to belittle the sacraments, not thinking that they are significant. And then what happens? The grace bestowed upon us through them is taken away from us. So these three devices, we have to be aware of them. This is what the devil is trying with each one of us every single day, compromising our wills, confusing our minds, and depriving us of God's grace. May the Lord grant us always to be safe in Him and with Him, and to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.